The following message is a teaching by Dr. Jason DeRoshi, Associate Professor of Old Testament at Bethlehem College and Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. More information about Jason can be found at deroshi-meyer.org.
Let's pray together, brothers. Father, we come before you once again to your throne room of grace, and we come with confidence and boldness because we're under the blood of your Son. We know how you look at us now, and we come hopeful, we come joyful, we come expectant, and we pray, God, shape us by your word. Speak to us. Let these moments not fall by the wayside unproductive, Lord, but let them be helpful. Help them be encouraging, edifying. Lord, would you build up these men through this word? I pray that we would rejoice in the truth together. Make us wise as we submit our wills to your will, as we bend our minds and our hearts around your revealed will. Speak, O God, through this time. Your servants are listening, I trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the third sermon now is entitled Receiving Correction. it says giving and receiving correction because I'm going to touch on giving, okay, correction, but mainly my focus is going to be on receiving correction, all right? So I'm going to start by just giving a brief word on giving correction. This conversation's already started a little while ago. Giving correction. Proverbs, we're going to be looking at Proverbs 15, verses 31 to 33, but let me read another one to begin. Proverbs 25, verse 12. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. The value of a wise reprover. The value of a wise reprover. Now I'm going to give some just practical ways that I started out. Actually, cut out a bunch of my introduction, but this I wanted to start sharing with my people. Before I talk about receiving correction well, I want to talk about giving correction well. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to underline things that I've talked about before. This is an important thing to bring up with your people because you want a culture of giving and receiving correction well in your church, you know, and they need to hear it. We need to hear it. So here's some basic guidelines to refresh, stir you brothers up by way of reminder. Ways to give correction in a God-honoring way. First, be sure that there are enough affirmations in the account to balance the withdrawal that you're making. Have you guys read Sam Crabtree's book, Practicing Affirmation?
No.
Life-changing book for me. Super, super helpful, super, super practical on affirmation. And one thing he talks about there, he gives the example of our relationships are like bank accounts. And our affirmations, pointing out evidences of grace in other people's lives, those are deposits that you're putting in that relational bank account. But our criticisms, no matter how constructive you might think they are, those are withdrawals. And the interesting thing about that illustration is that the withdrawals, the criticisms, carry more weight than the affirmations. Some might want to argue 5-1, maybe 10-1, but if you are trying to bring a criticism and you haven't put any affirmations in the bank, you know from your own life, I know from my own life, that it doesn't land well. It doesn't land well. But affirmations, when you just create a context, a loving, kind of nurturing relationship with another person, because you're quick to point out what God's doing in their lives, then when the time comes to correct, just make sure that you don't go bankrupt. You know, make sure you're not bouncing checks. So make sure there's enough affirmations in the bank if you're going to make a criticism. Next, see as God sees. Just remember, we have to remind ourselves, and we should be reproving as pastors, you know, but let's remember that if it's a brother or sister in Christ, we're talking about a blood-bought child of God. Blood was shed for the person that you're criticizing. Keep that in mind. Third, Remove any hypocrisy by first taking the log out of your own eye so that you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your neighbor's. Next, prepare your heart by purifying your motives. Really ask yourself. Take the time to ask yourself, what's motivating me? What's driving me to want to do this? And for pastors, I think one of the temptations for us is to be frustrated or kind of bitter. Maybe it's someone that's not changing very fast, and it can be frustrating, you know. And we can be tempted to reprove or correct or bring a criticism out of some kind of frustration or impatience, and those don't please the Lord, but see to it that it's love that's driving us, that we're wanting to see them flourish, and things are holding them back, so we're intervening at that point. Next, remember the goal. It's not to condemn. It's not to win an argument. It's to build up. It's to edify. Again, it's to see them flourish and mature in their relationship with Jesus. Next, correct or rebuke with gentleness in hopes of repentance and restoration. We can't emphasize this enough when we talk about, you know, church discipline, and it's formative, you know, or it's corrective. You know, you're trying to help move people back on the path because you see that they have veered off. And so what I'm saying here is let us remember that the aim is restoration. Even in terms of excommunicating somebody from your church, the aim is restoration. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing brothers and sisters love the way they should in the body of Christ with the truth, help each other, shepherd each other's hearts, and to see people be restored. That's our aim. That's our goal. That's why we're bringing it. And then finally, be patient. Love says, I'm in it for the long haul. That's what love says. It says, I'm in it for the long haul. I'll wait it out with you. I'll bear with you. And let us remember how patient, how unspeakably patient the Lord is with us, brothers. We know that we're works in progress. And but no matter how lovingly or gently or thoughtfully a correction is brought, correction always seems to sting. It stings. But my hope is that this message will help us learn to receive criticism in a way that honors God. Knowing it's going to sting to a certain amount, but that it would teach us how to receive it. So that's our focus, is how to receive criticism in a way that honors God. To see it clearly, let's look at Proverbs chapter 15, verses 31 to 33. Proverbs 15, verses 31 to 33. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. He who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Thank you, brother. So we're going to look at three things in this text. First, rejecting criticism, then receiving criticism. Then we're going to look at the key to receiving criticism well. All right, let me say it one more time. Rejecting criticism, receiving criticism, and then the key to receiving criticism well. So first, looking at verse 32, let's consider the rejection of criticism. Verse 32 says, whoever ignores instruction despises himself. Now, let's deal with that word instruction there, okay? Other synonyms can include reproof, rebuke, correction, criticism, or in a modern phraseology, constructive criticism, right? Where all of those kind of capture the same basic idea. The basic idea is this: you're pointing out another person's error for the sake of his or her holiness and flourishing. It's a brother or sister's attempt to say, you veered off the path. And the loving thing to do is help them see that and get them back on it. So that's the basic idea of instruction here. It means to reprove, to correct, to bring criticism in a constructive way. And it says that there is a foolish response. The foolish response is to ignore instruction. See how the text reads. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. To ignore is to refuse to heed God's word. God's word is heard, then ignored. The person has been told the right thing to do, yet still refuses to do it. The person has been told that they are veering off the path, but they ignore the warning and continue on their way. This is what it means to ignore instruction. Someone's making that effort, that loving effort, to get you back on the path, and you stiff arm them.